Good morning. It is 9:04 on WMFO in Medford. Welcome to Charlie MGH on this. Normally I say like how nice the weather is. It's a pretty nice day outside, I suppose. But if you think about it, what kind of a day is today? Then again, it is still early. But with me, I have Anirin Canham Klein, our senior political correspondent. Anirin, want to say hi?
Hello.
All right. You can introduce yourself too, because I mean, it's kind of like a new thing this term.
I'm Anirin Canham Klein. I am the other kind of red. I'm a communist and amateur political analyst.
Part of that is like, the first part is a little bit of a joke.
Yeah.
The second part is less of a joke.
Yeah.
But, so I guess we can't ignore. We got Trump. Also, the first song that we had was Beyonce, End of Time, fitting as if the end of time is upon us.
Yeah, which in a certain sense it is.
But also, it's just a good song.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I've been searching that song for a while. I've been trying to find it because I heard it somewhere and I just couldn't. Anyway, so looking at the front page of the Daily, looking at, what you got there? What newspaper is that one?
Oh, this is the Daily, but it's further in. Okay. Yeah, back to the front page. This is the worst day I've been alive for.
Yeah, and I remember, for those of you who are in the Campus Center, you all know, like, and you can look at the pictures in the Daily, like, you can just see the looks draining in people's eyes and their faces, just, like, the hands covering the mouths, like, just dropping open. It was not a happy mood in there. The night started out really kind of optimistic and just, like, kind of joking, but then, like, things really took quite the nosedive there.
Yeah. I mean, you can kind of compare that to the attitude that the Democratic Party took in this election, because there's an argument to be made that, like, they never actually took Trump seriously as a threat, which is what allowed them to run such a ineffective campaign and ultimately get destroyed. It's my view that the Democratic Party is ultimately responsible for Trump's presidency through their own irresponsibility and cowardliness throughout the election. Blaming everything on Russia, nominating a candidate that they all should have known was virtually unelectable, and then running a negative campaign as opposed to one designed to actually make people feel enthusiastic. Like, those are massive political errors, and someone needs to answer for them.
And who do you think should?
The entire leadership of the Democratic Party should step down. And so should most of the editorial board of the New York Times.
All right, yeah. I will say that I do not have a lot of this political analysis, so I just brought Anirin on, and I think, of course, feel free to call in if you'd like. 855-915 WMFO, 855-915-9636. We're gonna try to figure out how to work these phones. What was the mood like in the Campus Center yesterday for you? Like, because you were downstairs for quite a while.
Yeah. It was hell on earth. I was there from about 8:30 until 11:30, and then again from 12:25 to 1 when they kicked us out. And yeah. It started out, I got there after the first results were coming in. Like, once it was clear the Republicans were probably going to keep the Senate and that Trump had done better than we expected, and everyone was already sort of on edge. And then around 9:45, it started dawning on people, as Virginia and North Carolina weren't called immediately, that it was a real possibility that Hillary Clinton would lose the Electoral College. And by 11 o'clock, it was clear that we were facing a disaster of historical proportions.
Yeah, just some statistics for everyone. Clinton won in more counties where less than 50% of the population is white. So 84.1% of those counties swung to Clinton, 15.9% to Trump. Clinton won more counties where at least 45% of the population is African American, 84.7% to Clinton, 15.3% to Trump. Donald Trump won in Wisconsin, which Mitt Romney lost in 2012. Same for Pennsylvania. Same for Iowa. Same for Florida. As well as Ohio. So he picked up all these states that had previously, for the last, many years, been inaccessible for Republicans.
Ohio was blue from after 2004. I don't know. I can't remember how it went in 2000. All I remember is Florida. It already feels like the Bush era, like when every day you kind of woke up like not knowing if this was real life, and it just felt like you had the flu just for the entirety of his era, like his presidential reign. Like, it was a state of like living with a like a 99 degree fever for 8 years.
That sounds like what you went through last year.
Yeah, basically. Only now we're all going through that.
Yeah. And some states were called immediately. So New York was called immediately.
Yeah.
1% reporting. California called immediately. 0% reporting. And then I just remember, like, I went down to look at the results, and suddenly Washington wasn't ready. And that should have been a state that should have been called really quickly.
Well, yeah, yes and no, because, like, Eastern Washington is really demographically similar to Idaho, and, like, those districts were going to report first. Like, the state's population center is entirely west of the Cascades and entirely in pretty dense counties, so, like, those are going to report late. Like,
yeah.
Also, like, people think that the West Coast is, like, really progressive and democratic, but that's kind of, like, that's a very new phenomenon, like, especially in California. You can make the argument that it's more, like, reactionary democratic ideology that prevails there. I mean, like, California produced Nixon, they produced Reagan, they were the model for privatization and tax cuts for just as long as, like, up until, like, the 90s, I want to say. And then after that, once Schwarzenegger was elected, like, it remained like a deeply conservative state. Like, the problem is that, like, the American governmental system as it's set up, like, is deeply reactionary.
Yeah, you often go from a large chunk of, like, a Democratic presidency to a Republican presidency.
Yeah.
And so on. And
yeah. It's also important to note that, like, the Republicans are fundamentally, like, not a popular party. Like, they have the support of something like a third of registered voters and something like 1/6 of American adults. Like, they don't actually represent the American people, and I'm pretty sure that Donald Trump won fewer votes than, like, adults didn't vote. Like, this is not a democratic victory. Like, this isn't a victory for democracy. Like, he was not elected by a popular mandate. Like, he will never be, like, the president of the American people. He is the president of one section of the American people.
And he's also lost the... Also, just in case you haven't noticed, we tend to swing to the left and an iron very much so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, of course, like, and if you don't want to listen to politics all day, we are going to take a little break in a very bit. As in, when I say break, it's like we're going to go on commercial, but we're really just going to play some music.
Yeah.
Which is what this show normally does, which is middle school throwbacks. But actually, well, I got something coming out that isn't a middle school throwback, so just you wait. Anyway. Yeah, and just looking at the New York Times is a great kind of, like, or I suppose great might not be the appropriate word, but has a very interesting live presidential forecast, which is now, of course, not live anymore, but they tracked the chances of a Trump presidency. It started at 20%. At around 9 o'clock, it kicked up to around mid-30s. And then a little before 10 o'clock was when Clinton and Trump's met at 50-50.
Yeah.
And then Trump skyrocketed from that. But again, Trump did lose the popular vote by around 150,000, right?
That's the way it looks right now. And as votes from, like, more populated districts where, like, voting goes on longer and, like, counting the results takes longer. By voting goes on longer, I mean lines are longer. So, like, parts of New York City, you know, Los Angeles, Bay Area, Seattle, Chicago, Atlanta, Dallas, like, all these big cities, all these really dense cities, we're probably going to see Clinton's popular vote margin go up by, I want to say, like, another 200,000. Because I don't think the last of the votes have been tabulated.
Would they tabulate absentee ballots now that, like, the popular vote is so close?
I believe so, yes. Especially if there are recounts. And, I mean, like, earlier in this show, like, I was giving a very obvious ideological plug because I hate both parties and capitalism. But, like, the immediate response to this election, like, is that, like, the power systems in America, like, have failed the American people.
Yeah, and a lot of this was a reaction to the elite, the powerful elite.
Yep.
Political elite.
It was a two-way reaction, I want to say. a lot of it was to the coastal elite. Like, you can make the argument that, like, it's to people, like, it was a reaction to the people who, like, attend Tufts, basically. Like, we are in some way complicit because of the elite's participation in the destruction of organized labor and the working class and all that stuff that, like, we don't really have time to get into. But it was also, like, it was also, like, deeply a racist, sexist reaction to the Obama presidency, first of all, and then to, like, the social gains made in the last 20, 25 years. Also, I want to address one of the claims that the New York Times and other media outlets have been making, which is that the white working class is what gave Trump the vote, and, like, this is a myth because poor people don't vote. Like, he was given the vote by the lower middle class and the middle class, which is, like, people who have jobs, people who have a decent amount of income. Like, they voted for Trump, not poor people, not the working class. Like, this was a lower middle class reaction. This is, it's the same people who supported Louis Napoleon in France in the 1850s, or, like, not to use, you know, the Nazis as an example, but, like, the Nazi Party base, like, employed, propertied, like, rural people, and, like, semi-middle class, suburban, and urban people. Like, that's his coalition.
All right, I'm not sure if that's entirely accurate just yet. I'm, like, definitely believe your analysis, and of course we can just, as this winds down, we'll see a lot of new numbers and statistics coming out, but just for everyone, the Senate right now is a Republican majority. Republicans have 51 seats at the moment. Two seats, I believe, are still being counted. Maggie Hassan's race in New Hampshire, where she ran against Kelly Ayotte, and what's the other one? I believe Louisiana also has yet to be officially called. The House has swung, well, no surprise there. Republicans currently hold 236, Democrats 191. Of course, some of them still have to be counted. Massachusetts referenda. So question one, which dealt with casinos, ended up losing. So there will not be new casinos, new slot parlors. 61% no. Question two, allowing the Board of Education to approve up to 12 new charter schools or enrollment expansions in current charter schools each year. 62% said no. Question three, prohibits the selling of farm products from animals not raised in spaces that meet a minimum size requirement. 78% said yes. Question four allows the possession, use, and distribution and cultivation of limited amounts of marijuana by persons age 21 and over. 54% said yes.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, we're just going to go play a song real quick. We'll be right back, 9:17 on this Wednesday morning. That was Calcifer by Yoste. Really, really, really kind of like, oh, we're going to get it again? Nope. I mean, who can kind of play it in the background, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of a song that I've been listening to a lot lately because it's just a little bit, upbeat. But yeah, I have this friend named Sahar, and she makes all of these really cool videos of her like time at Tufts or just abroad or anywhere. Like, she just does monthly videos, and this was one of her, the songs in the back, and it would just really, really like scream my name. It's a really good song. Anyway, yeah. So we were talking about write-ins.
Yeah. This is unconfirmed, but like I saw this on Facebook.
Okay, well, yeah.
From like someone who I trust, so like I'm gonna go ahead and say it's true, but like according to that, like 11,000 people wrote in Harambe, and like I kind of want to know who those people are, like, so I could like throw a cup of coffee in their face or something like that. Like, how little respect for democracy can you have to, and like,
I'm sorry,
to write in a racist, like what became a racist meme, like.
And right now, what we're seeing is a lot of discussion surrounding third-party votes, protest votes.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a lot of recriminations. And ultimately, like, people are going to blame the third-party voters the way they blamed the Nader voters. But, like, ultimately, like, the Democratic Party is responsible for its strategy. It's responsible for its nominee. And, like, it's responsible for its turnout operations. Like, they are. It's no one else's fault. But theirs. Although you can like, the media is complicit in this because like they made like $1 billion off of making Trump seem like a serious person, and like now we're gonna have to witness like Anderson Cooper and like all of these supposedly non-ideological I'm trying to find a word that is polite enough for the radio but conveys my disgust with them as human beings. But we're going to see these fake journalists bending over backwards for the next 4 years to talk about how serious Trump is and, like, how we need to... Yeah. I don't even know where I was going with that. Like, I'm just angry.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are angry right now, of course, and a lot of people are very upset, and a lot of people are very scared. Judging from my Facebook feed, the fight that people of color, that women, that trans, queer folk go through every single day, that refugees, that immigrants go through every single day, the fight just got way harder. The fight that they do every single day.
Yeah. And, like, that fight is part of, like, a broader... All of those fights are part of the same struggle, which is the struggle against, like, oppression and divisiveness in... the capitalist system. And like, not to call for revolution, but actually let me just take back revolution, like, forget I said anything about that, but like the only possible good that can come of this is that it clarifies just how hard we need to fight and like how clear and passionate we need to be, like, in order to defeat right-wing populism. Like, we can't just sit back and let party mechanisms do this. We have to take the fight to them in the streets, in every city in America, in like any way we can. Like, we need to recover our ability to act as political actors beyond Election Day. But I mean, I say that, but I don't know what that looks like. Right?
I mean, I think that you thought about this a lot, and you have a lot of strong opinions on this.
I do have a lot of strong opinions on this, yeah.
Right now, I'm just sort of thinking about the people that I know, and those who are hurting right now, because a lot of people, I think, are in a lot of pain. And I mean, for me, I didn't doubt that, like, there was such racism, such sexism, such like xenophobia in the world, especially in America. But like,
yeah,
part of me is like not surprised that this happened, but part of me is also very surprised that this happened. And I think that like we went into this election with some sort of like optimism, might not be the right word, naivete maybe, but just like assumption that like Clinton would carry and win.
Yeah.
And I mean, even though like I voted for her, and I just sort of sent it in like kind of casually, like, all right, this is more for local elections because I know what's going to happen here. Yeah, and I think there's a lot just think about with this election that just happened. It's been quite the 24 hours.
Yeah.
And
Time
magazine had these two cameras that were showing side by side the Clinton headquarters and the Trump headquarters. And it was just completely different moods closer to 11 o'clock, closer to 12 o'clock.
Yeah. I mean, this is a disaster for everybody who's not a straight white male who already has a good job. Like, and even for a lot of them, like, unionized workers are completely screwed under Trump. But more importantly, like, you know, for people of color and for women and LGBT people, like, this is going to be a disaster. I had something to... Oh, right. And, like, it almost seems like the Democratic Party didn't take the Trump threat seriously, to go back to that naivete. They thought just by, like, pointing out how offensive he was and all that, that they could win. And what they neglected is that Trump is basically like Reagan if Reagan had less control over what he said. Because, like, he's not politically unprecedented. Well, to an extent, he's politically unprecedented in, like, the scope of his authoritarianism. But, like, in terms of his social policy and, like, his ignorance of government and his actual, like, unwillingness to do anything, like, he very closely resembles Ronald Reagan. So, you know, in 36 years, we're going to have another conservative candidate running, and everybody in the Republican Party is going to be like, oh, Trump saved our country. Like, we need to run like Trump. And, like, we're just going to see people turn him into, and by people, I mean, like, rich white people turn him into a hero. Like,
do you think we're going to see the rest of the Republican Party fall in line with him?
Yeah, to an extent. I also think, like, the advisors that he surrounds him with are just going to go along with, like, the congressional Republican agenda, if not push it to the right. I don't know. Our goal now should be to do what to the Republican Party what the Republican Party did to the Obama administration, which is to sabotage them at every turn, destroy their legislative power, like, break their support in the countryside, systematically deny them the, like, use of institutions, like, take back what we can, and just do our best to ensure that they fail the next time around. Like, our efforts should be focused entirely on attacking the Republican base of power, because, like, that's the only way, like, if we put them on the defensive, like, that's the only way we can avoid crushing defeats.
Yeah,
because I mean, now they control the entire apparatus of government.
I don't think I know too much about poli-sci
this isn't so much like poli-sci, this is more informed by, like, my experience in the labor movement. Mm-hmm. And what I know about sort of how the American left loses and how the American left wins. And we win when we attack, basically, is one way to put it. We don't win when we sit on our laurels, or not even sit on our laurels. We don't win when we sit back to defend what we gained. Like, we win when we push on for other gains.
All right, on that note, 9:29 here, currently about to flip to 9:30. We're just going to chill with another song, and we'll be right back.
I've forgotten how it feels with the carpet under my seat. It's the polyester fibers that wrap around my feet. Feels like home. 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 When the cold shakes my bones, it's the rug that warms my soul. It's the textile to the skin, and the sensation alone feels like home. Home. So if you ever come round to my house, take your shoes off at the door, 'cause it's impolite not to. You'll be damaging my floor, 'cause it's my home. When you're down and you're alone, it's a train that brings you home, and your mother, brother, sister, father waiting at the door. It's so sweet, sweet. Makes me glad I'm only a stone's throw away. Makes me sad that others can't have it the same way.
Tufts University Art Gallery is dedicated to conceiving and presenting exhibits and educational programs that explore new, global perspectives on art and art discourse. All exhibitions and related programming are free, open to the public, and fully accessible. The Tufts University Art Gallery is located in the Edichman Arts Center at 40 Talbot Avenue on the Somerville-Medford campus of Tufts University. For current exhibitions and hours, just search the web for Tufts University Art Gallery, or you can also call 617-627-3518. This has been a public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. All right, that's our PSA out of the way. So that was Home by Dan Kroll. Just a little nice, little song. And he always talks about taking your shoes off at the door, which is something I do. It is polite, because you can't mess up carpets, you know? But you know what? Let's talk a little more about the Massachusetts referendums, and particularly, do you happen to know if Somerville question number 5-1?
I do not. But I can speak to some of the other referenda. Question 1 failed, which is something that is actually good. It wasn't something that we really discussed as a community, but the expansion of the gambling industry, on the East Coast outside of tribal lands, threatens the livelihood of Native American tribes, and also more broadly unionized workers in the United States, because the casino industry is pretty heavily unionized. So good job Massachusetts for defeating those slot parlors. We did it.
Somerville did pass question 5, which was funding a new high school. Okay. In Somerville. So they voted to fund the highest priced school building project in Mass history, according to the Boston Globe. $257 million calls for 1,590 student high school. But part of this $257 million is being fronted by the Massachusetts School Fund. It's a fund specifically meant for building schools. The Massachusetts School Building Authority has voted to pay around $120 million of this. And the taxes that increase are specifically meant for the school, which will be around $349 per family. But yeah, it's going to be on the news. It's going to be on the same site on Highland Ave. But Somerville has passed question five. In terms of the other state questions and referenda.
Question two failed.
Question two failed significantly as well.
Which is good. That gives me hope.
So question two was the charter school question, asking the Board of Education to approve 12 new charter schools or enrollment expansions every single year.
Yeah, and isn't this part of a national trend of people, like, I don't want to say waking up, because, like, that sounds like I'm some dude in a V for Vendetta mask, which I'm not. But this is a broader national trend of people realizing, that our educational system is politicized, and that charter schools are bad, and that we need to fight to preserve public education. You know, it's part of the same movement that gave us the Chicago teacher strike, which is one of the most hopeful episodes in recent American history.
Let's also talk about, real quick before we go back to the referendum, governorships, governor mansions.
Oh, God.
Delaware, Oregon, Washington, West Virginia have all been declared Democratic. North Carolina, Vermont, Indiana, New Hampshire, Missouri, and Utah have all been declared Republican.
Vermont?
Vermont, where Phil Scott has won with 53% of the vote. Montana and North Carolina are yet to be called, but they are the Democratic candidates there are leading. So Montana, Stephen Bullock is leading with 50 to 47%. In North Carolina, it's very close, 49% to 49%, with just a 10,000 votes or so deciding. So they're probably counting things like absentee ballots.
Yeah,
a lot of votes, a lot of a lot of different elections are close enough to be in the recounts area, right? That was phrased very poorly. Sorry. A lot of margins are within the margin to call. Oh my gosh,
they're within the mandatory recount margin.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is very small consolation, especially given that the United States generally does not pay attention to recounts. To go back to 2000, which I think is probably the most important historical precedent, you had a Supreme Court. Well, I don't want to call it Supreme because, I don't want to give them any more credit than they deserve.
Well, I mean, if it's a Supreme Court, it's a Supreme Court.
The most powerful court in the land.
The Supreme Court.
The disgrace court.
The Supreme Court.
Yeah, the Supreme Court. Messing around.
Yes. Yeah. We got listeners here. You can't be, this is a family show.
This is a family.
This is why we play middle school throwbacks normally.
Yeah.
This is why.
I mean, this isn't just not a family-friendly day in America, though. To go back to what I was saying, recounts only matter, if your party controls the mechanism of government. And we don't. Because, Republicans control most state houses, most legislatures. They control a lot of elected judgeships. Oh, wait. The good news is Sheriff Joe in Maricopa County, Joe Arpaio, is gone. Did not win re-election.
Who's that?
He is...
For those of us who don't know.
He is the most racist sheriff in America. He's the dude who, was like, oh, we're going to systematically profile Latinos. We're going to deport everybody we find.
Okay.
And so Sheriff Joe lost, and this is also part of a very hopeful moment in the American Southwest. Nevada went for Clinton, right?
Yes.
So Nevada went for Clinton and Sheriff Joe both lost Nevada went for Clinton and Sheriff Joe lost because of the Culinary Workers Union. And the Culinary Workers Union is the largest single local union in a right-to-work state. It has 60,000 members in Las Vegas. It's a subsidiary of Unite Here. It is the force that's responsible for turning Nevada blue. They ran a massive campaign along with activists for undocumented immigrants and like Latino rights to unseat Sheriff Joe. And, you know, those guys fought the good fight and they won. So shout out to them. We just got to be ready to fight like they fought.
All right, let's go back to the referenda real quick.
Yeah, let's.
So we talked about question one and question two. Question three, which everyone seemed a little kind of unsure about. Prohibits selling farm products from animals not raised in spaces that meet a minimum size requirement, particularly chickens and their ability to flap their wings.
Yeah.
78% said yes. No had 22%. No was arguing that it would raise the cost of chicken prices and hurt small farmers. Yes was arguing that only one chicken farmer does not meet that requirement currently.
Yeah.
And that it would be good for animals.
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
I'm not surprised. You know, Massachusetts has a reputation as being a pretty liberal state. I like to think that, you know, as someone who has adopted this place as my home, like, we all care about, just the general amount of good in the universe, and, like, making sure that animals can stand up and turn around is part of that.
And if you assert that Massachusetts is pretty liberal, which I tend to agree, you probably aren't surprised by number four, are you?
What was number four again?
Number four is the marijuana question.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm not surprised by number four. I just think that the Catholic Church needs to do better, because the Archdiocese was like, the Archdiocese basically funded the reaction against marijuana, and which is, sorry, I almost dropped the F-bomb, which is hilarious, because like the Archdiocese is a very shady organization.
But yeah, please don't curse, this is a family show.
Yeah, well, yeah, then we shouldn't be talking about the Catholic Church, because like those guys aren't anything if not family friendly.
This is a family show. I need to remind you that we play good, wholesome music here.
If anything, I've been hearing sinful devil music. I think you're encouraging fornication, Charles.
Okay, wait, I will say, though, that like I have played songs that aren't labeled as explicit on Spotify, but then say things that, to me, I've been taught were explicit.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm not gonna ask questions. This is a family show.
So anyways, this shows, like, just the disconnect between the church and the people here. But I mean, we all knew about that since like the spotlight revelations a few years ago, but it just shows that, like, for all Pope Francis's rhetoric about changing the church, like, it has not democratized in a meaningful sense, like, on the local level, which is a problem. But I guess I don't care that much about the political power of the Catholic Church. I do care to an extent about the decline of organized religion in America, if only because, like, religion is a force that gives life meaning and, like, a way for communities to come together. And in that way, it's, like, an important tool for people to express their love and solidarity with each other, which is not easy to do in America. But we'll find other ways.
Yeah. Real quick, before we go on another little break, 9:44, about to be 9:45 here on WMFO. California is known for its propositions and ballot measures.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at them. Prop 51, $9 billion bond for modernizing K-12, charter and vocational schools and community colleges. 54% said yes. Prop 52, extends existing fee on hospitals to fund coverage for Medi-Cal, uninsured patients and children's health. 70% yes. Prop 53 requires statewide voter approval for bonds over $2 billion, 51% no. Prop 54 stops the legislature from passing any bill unless it's published on the internet for 72 hours, 64% yes. That's a really interesting one.
That
right
is.
There.
That, I like that.
Yeah, Prop 55 extends income tax on earnings over $250,000 to fund schools and healthcare, 62% yes. Prop 56 increases taxes on tobacco and e-cigarettes to increase funding for healthcare for low-income Californians, 63% yes. Prop 57 allows parole consideration for nonviolent felons and allows juvenile court judges to decide whether juveniles will be prosecuted as adults, 64% yes. Prop 58 allows schools to establish non-English-only education programs, 72% said yes. Prop 59 recommends California propose an amendment to overturn Citizens United, 52% yes, but that hasn't been called yet. Prop 60 requires adult film performers to use condoms when filming and other health regulations. 54% no. Prop 61 prohibits California from buying prescription drugs at a higher price paid by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. 54% no. Prop 62 repeals the death penalty and replaces it with life imprisonment without possibility of parole. 54% no. I feel like that should have been... I didn't hear any talk about that.
Yeah.
That sounds like a very big discussion that, like...
That, on a personal level, that hurts. I had a close relative who was murdered, and his killer was convicted of a capital crime and is currently... I'm not going to publicize any more details of this case, but, like, he is currently,
on death row?
Yeah, I think he's on death row.
All right.
But he's in a state that, like, doesn't execute people, and, like, I personally don't believe in the death penalty.
Yeah.
Well, it's a state that, like, hasn't executed people in a very long time. And
you don't need to share anything more than what you want, so...
I just think that, like, the failure of the anti-death penalty referendum shows, like... how little empathy we have for other people.
At the same time, though, a lot of states with the death penalty still don't execute people.
Yeah, but then again, like, the conditions on death row, like, are terrible and expensive and alienating. And, like, those prisoners, like, as human beings deserve the ability to... reform themselves if they want to and to like seek redemption. They don't deserve to be locked in a cage for 23 hours a day with the prospect that one day they may be murdered by the state. No one deserves that.
All right. On that note, sorry. Prop 63 requires background checks for purchasing ammunition, prohibits sales of large capacity magazines. 63% yes. Prop 64. Prop 63 had a 63% yes vote. Prop 64 legalizes marijuana for use by adults 21 and over. 56% yes. Prop 65 requires plastic bag fees to be directed towards specific environmental projects. 55% no. Prop 66 changes procedures governing state court challenges to the death sentences. 51% yes. But has not been called. Prop 67 bans single-use plastic and paper bags. 58% yes. Wow, but that hasn't been called. How long must this ballot be for California? Oh my gosh.
Like pages? I don't know.
New York does not have ballot measures, so I had a very short ballot.
Yeah.
But oh my gosh, wow. That was a lot of stuff. But yeah. California is known for its interesting ballot measures, and we just went through them. It's 9:48 right now. You know what? I want to like end on like a good note, just like not even about any sort of election stuff. So, Nair, anything you want to say to close it out? We're just gonna play some music from here on.
Yeah, but this is going to be on an election note.
Go for it.
We are like. Millennials especially and like all Americans like are capable of loving each other and we need to fight to preserve the fundamental bonds of you know the things that hold us together as a nation, and we need to fight all day every day any way we can everywhere we are to preserve that, whether that's protesting, whether that's voting, whether that's protecting people who are using abortion clinics or stuff like that. Like, we need to fight in a more meaningful sense, not just at the ballot box.
Alright, yeah, of course, definitely. Voting is not the only way that we need to fight. Definitely agree with that sentiment. 9:50 right now, we're just gonna chill with some few more songs and just have a good time here. I hope you'll have a good day. What did you say? What you say? That you only meant well, cause you did. What you say? Jason Derulo. That it's all for the best, cause it is. I was so wrong for so long, only trying.
trust when I don't really want no one else. Oh no, I know I should have treated you better, but me and you were meant to last forever. So let me in, give me another chance to really be your man. Cause when the roof caved in and the truth came out, I just didn't know what to do. Together. So let me in, give me another chance to be your man. Cause when the roof caved in and the truth came out, I just didn't know what to do. But when I become a star, we'll be living so large. I'll do anything for you. Tell me what you say. I really need you in my life, cause things ain't right, girl. Tell me what you say. I don't want you to leave me, though you caught me cheating. Tell me what you say. I really need you in my life, cause things ain't right. Cause when the roof caved in and the truth came out, I just didn't know what to do.
I just didn't know what to do.
But when I become a star, we'll be living so large. I'll do
so baby, what you say?
What you say? Ooh, that you only meant well.
Oh, well, of course I did.
Ooh, what you say?
Sorry, I gotta get this together. You know how the show usually is. I gotta find a song. Anyway, okay. You can't play explicit songs. Let's see. Ooh, I hope this isn't explicit. Here we go.
That's right. don't really come for free. Your paycheck don't mean that much to me. Just take my hand and hold me tight. You'll never buy my love. You buy me this and you buy me that. To win over and be over. You got me wrong and that's a fact. Something that you got to know me. Will you realize when I'm gone that I danced to a different song? It's a shame, but I got to go.
Closing up, we got, well, so the first song was Jason Derulo, What You Say, and then we had Cooking on Three Burners and Kongs playing That Girl, This Girl, currently 9:57 here in WMFO. Thank you, Anirin, for stopping by.
No problem. Hopefully I will come back under better circumstances.
Yeah. Of course, everyone is welcome.
Yeah.
But please. Definitely. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll see you next Monday. Nope. Not Monday. Next Wednesday.
Wednesday.
What is wrong? next Wednesday here on WMFO in Medford. Right now, we're going to close out with Passion Pit. Thank you all for tuning in. Have a good day. Have a good week. Keep the good fight.
Solidarity and love, comrades.
Yep. Well sure. Sending love everywhere. Have a good day, everyone. This song is not working right now. Why does this always happen? I just wanted to close out the song and like make everything all right. Oh man, we're having some technical issues. Here we go. Let's try this. This is not how it's supposed to go. Oh my gosh, why can't something just work right now? All right, just pretend there's music playing. I'm just gonna draw it up real quick. This is embarrassing. This is not the best. All right. Here we go. Oh, the video has to buffer. Oh, I'm a fool. Oh my God, this is embarrassing. This is embarrassing. There we go. Okay. We'll be right back.